our study in the book of Psalms. Moving right on through the book of Psalms in Psalm number 60 in the morning hour. Psalm number 60. You fellas all getting ready for winter, or else you're trying to play Santa Claus. I don't know which. Psalm number 60 this morning, okay? And we're going to read all 12 verses of this psalm this morning. Hope that they'll be a blessing to you as we read through them, okay? Psalm number 60, begin reading with verse number 1. O God, Thou hast cast off, Thou hast scattered us, Thou hast been displeased. O turn Thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed Thy people hard things, Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of Thy truth. Selah. That Thy beloved may be delivered, save with Thy right hand, and hear me. God hath spoken in His holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Sunday school hour and for this portion of the Bible, for the 60th Psalm. It's my prayer that You'd open up this text to us this morning and reveal great and glorious truths that we might get a hold of for our life, be a blessing to us, a strength to our soul. Help us and encourage us only as You can today, expose sin and evil and wickedness, and may Your name be honored in our midst and worship, and we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse number 4 will be our text verse for Psalm number 60. And unless the Lord changes my mind, this will be the only week we'll spend in this particular psalm. We may look at it again next week if the Lord leads that way, but I would think more than likely we will conclude Psalm 60 in this morning's hour. Verse number 4, He said, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And then David the psalmist said, stop and think about that. God has given us a banner that we might display it. And the reason that we can lift it high and magnify it is because of the truth. We can display it to a lost world, to a heathen society, to an ungodly nation, because it is the banner of truth. Gentlemen, the Lord's banner is the only banner of truth. That's right. And the Bible said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. It would do our society and people well to cleave unto the truth. Now, my thought for the morning hour that I want to try to bring here in the Sunday school is simply the glorious conflict. We are in a conflict. We are in a glorious conflict. We're in a battle. I believe that we so often, fellas, as God's people, forget the conflict that we as God's children are involved in. I really believe that we get so wrapped up in our own life and in our own doing our own thing, so to speak, that we forget about this great conflict that you and I as God's children are involved in. Many have retreated from this conflict, but I want to say to you this morning that the battle against evil rages on. Many have retreated. In fact, Psalm 78 said, Ephraim, in the day of battle, being armed with bow and arrow, they retreated or they turned back on God. It goes on to say in that psalm, in their turning back, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. And we're living in an hour, gentlemen, when many have retreated from the battle. You know, it's easy just to step aside and let somebody else fight the battles for us. It really is. It'd have been easy for little David to step aside in the book of 1 Samuel and not have worried at all about Goliath. But he went into the valley of Elah and fought the battle of the Lord. The conflict was raging. God's honor was at stake. God's people was being deprived of blessings and was being reviled, criticized, and condemned by the enemy. And David realized that there was a cause to fight and went out into the heat of the battle to fight the battles of the Lord. It's easy today just to retreat and let somebody else do all of the battle and all the fighting. And may I say that the battle that we're fighting is against evil. In any shape, form, or fashion, we are fighting a battle against evil. I meant what I said earlier about Mr. Falwell. He has not only compromised, he has not only retreated, he has shown me that he's never gotten into the battle to begin with. I tell you, gentlemen, we're living in a sad hour today when our religious leaders in America can embrace sodomites, lesbianism, homosexuality as a friend and then walk in their pulpits on Sunday morning and try to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus that reveals the wrath of God against that sin and reveals the unrighteousness of man and reveals the blessedness of the Lord in dying for our sins, and the holiness of God is at stake. I tell you, brother, we're in bad shape in America. We really are. Some have even determined, not to back up, nor to give one inch to the workers of evil, neither will they compromise with the man of sin. I'm telling you, we ought not ever compromise with sin. We ought not to back up one inch from evil. We ought to stand our ground flat-footed in the grace of God and tell it exactly like it is, gentlemen. That's right. I am not backing up today. No, sir. Not on sin and ungodliness, not on evil and wickedness, not on the pleasures of this world, not on the God of this world. I don't intend to back up, let down, let up, turn around, and run. I'm going to stand in the battle, and if I die on the battlefield, glory to God, I'll go home to be with Jesus as a martyr and receive a martyr's crown, amen, and will rejoice in eternity because God has allowed me and permitted me to fall on the battlefield as a hero of the faith of Christ. Hallelujah to God. I'd rather die on the battlefield as a hero than running like a stinking chicken head in town. Some men ain't got enough guts to stand up against nothing. I know that's right. Now notice the title of the psalm. He said here that it is to the chief musician upon Shushan Edom. Or Edus, ever how that word is pronounced. Now that is a new word to me, and it's a new word in the psalm. But it signifies the lily of testimony. In other words, David is here giving us the lily of his testimony. Now I've often wondered what it means by the lily of the testimony. Well, possibly this thing is implying the Lord's ability to sustain us while in the valley of conflict, and David testifies to that fact. I want to say to you, my friend, that we will find him as a lily in the valley. The Song of Solomon said he is the lily of the valley, and he is the rose of Sharon.
And I don't know how many spiritual battles you've ever fought, but you'll fight them in the valley. Just mark her down. All battles for the Lord are fought, and they are won in the valley. I told Miss Hall this night before last, maybe last night, that I'm fighting presently one of the greatest battles that I've ever fought in my spiritual life. It is a direct attack on me and my soul. It's from not from necessarily without, but it is from within with the host of hell. I don't believe I've ever had the devil to assault me. And I'm not talking about fellas just in the last 2 days or week or the last month. I'm simply telling you, friend, that there is a battle to be fought. Oh, yes, sir. And I found myself in that valley of conflict quite fervently in the last several months of my ministry at Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm telling you, and the devil would just love for us to throw in the towel and raise up the white flag of surrender and say, I give. But I'm here to tell you this morning that rather than raise the white flag of surrender, I'm glad, thank God, that I've got a banner that I can raise that is a banner of glorious victory from the hand of Almighty God, for He is the lily in our valleys. Hallelujah to God. That's right, ain't it? Thanks be unto God. And He can sustain us in the valley. And by the way, those valley conflicts are lonely conflicts. There was no one in the valley of Eli but David. The rest of the crowd stood on the other side of the mountain and watched. I tell you, hey, look here. You may have brothers in Christ are praying for you, but friend, when it comes down to fighting that battle in the valley, I'll assure you the best they can do is stand on the mountaintop on the other side and watch while you battle the giant of your life in the valley. But He's the lily that will sustain you while you're there. That's right. And again now, this psalm is a Mitzvah of David. That is, it is a prayer of David. And it may be that our prayer of faith is a great testimony of God's love toward us and His power to deliver us when in battle with our enemies. While in the battle, in the valley, David learned to pray. Or here one minute. That's right. David learned to pray. And it may just be, my friend, that prayer, while in the valley, could be the lily of our testimony to those around us that God is able to sustain us in the valley. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that if you're in the valley, all eyes are upon you. Every Jew at the Valley of Eli in the army of Israel stood and kept their eyes on little David. Now, I'll assure you, my friend, while you're in the valley, somebody is on the mountaintop watching you, and your prayer of faith and God sustaining you may be the only testimony of the grace of God and the help of God that individual ever gets. And you get in the valley and drop your mouth, bless God, down to your ankles and act like you ain't got a friend in the world. It may just be, my friend, that you're allowing somebody else that's watching you to be discouraged and lose their faith in the Lord. I've never seen so many people that get a little gas on their stomach. Eat too many beans on Saturday night and can't come to church on Sunday. And if they do make it to church on Sunday, they want everybody in church to know that they're just having one of the hardest times of their life. Huh? God help us. God said, if I was starving to death, I would not tell you about it. I've got news for you, friend. If I'm just about growed out and ain't no higher, bless God, than a shoe top, I'm not going to tell you about it or let you know about it While I'm in your presence, I'll carry that problem into the throne room of God's grace, into the secret chambers of prayer, and tell God about it, but I will not allow myself to get to the place where I let you know about what's going on. Huh? I told some of the men the Sunday night that after the service, we're talking about problems that men have. And I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Some of you ain't old enough to be there yet, but now you better listen to Brother Hall. If you think there is not a change of life in men that is almost equal to the change of life in a woman, you're dumber than a box of rocks, buddy. It is there, fellas. It is there. And when you start getting older, there's going to be problems that you're going to face that you've never faced before. And if you think that it will not drive you into a valley, I told some of the men, I said, we was talking about it. Talking about those days during the month when you may have these problems. And I told some of the men, I said, I'm in one today. I said, could you tell it? And they just smiled. No, they, hey, I wasn't going to come out here Tuesday night, son. I preached my best. I preached the best I could like a wild man Tuesday night. I wasn't about to come out and let you know, man, my heart is reeling and a rocking on the axle. Oh, no, sir. I'm going to come out here and try my best to put a smile on your face and preach the hell out of you, amen to God, and preach the glory of the cross into your bosom to encourage your heart in the Lord. Hallelujah to God. God help us. Huh? Every time we come to church and we got a little problem, we bless God, look like we've been sucking on an alum bag or dill pickles or something. My God, fellas. Huh? Somebody said, you don't know what I'm going through. I've got news for you. There is no temptation but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will with the same temptation also make a way of escape. That's what the Bible says. Common to man. 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 That's right. And don't leave me. The victory here is said to be achieved by Joab in our title. It says, when Joab returned and smote Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. But if you read the account of this, in 2 Samuel 8:13, this victory is attributed to David. In 1 Chronicles 18:13, Abishai, the brother of Joab, gets the credit for the victory. Now, that somebody said, well, that's a discrepancy. No, sir. It is not a discrepancy. David the king wrote this psalm, and David, with a humble heart, attributed the victory to the man that led the battle, to Joab. But God, being no respecter of persons, fellas, and rewarding each of us for our respective labors in Christ, saw to it under the inspiration of God, that every man that had part in that battle, in leading that battle, found some sort of reward when he penned all three of their names down in the Bible and credited the victory to all of them. Boy, what a God we have. I'm telling you, fellas, that you will not lose your reward if you give one drink of water in a disciple's name. What, God will not overlook it, buddy. I'll tell you, you'll never do anything for God that God will overlook in your life and my life. But those things that we do in secret and do not look for a reward, God will see to it that they're brought out and manifested before all, that He might bless us and reward us in an open way. That's right. That's right. Now, I think I've got about three things I want to look at on this glorious conflict that we're involved in. And we'll get ready for preaching. I don't want to spend too much time. We're not over an hour and a half or 2 hours anyhow. And I want to look at three things. I want to look at the cause we're involved in.
And I want to look at the character of the soldiers in this battle. And then the commander that is over us, just briefly, in just a little sermonette here. But the cause, in chapter number 17 and verse 29 of the book of 1 Samuel, when David came down from his daddy's house to the battle against the Philistines, and his three older brothers were fighting in the battle, and he ran out into the battle to see how the battle went, and his brothers mocked him. In fact, one of them said, "We know why you're here and the naughtiness of your heart." Said, "By the way," said, "who is watching those little old bleeding sheep back there at the father's house while you're down here as a little ruddy-faced boy trying to stick your nose into the king's business here in the middle of the battle?" And little old David looked at that crowd and made this statement. He said, "Is there not a cause?" Read it, gentlemen. Let me ask you this morning. Is there not a cause? Somebody said, a cause for what? A cause to battle against evil in the hearts of men, in the society that we're living in the community that we're living in the area of life that we're living in. I tell you, there is a cause to stand up and be counted in this glorious conflict against the evil that we're fighting. Well, the Lions Club had their pancake day on Friday. And I like pancakes. Especially them big round ones like they cook on the griddle up there. Especially when you get all the pancakes you can eat, all the milk you can drink, all the orange juice you can drink, and all the coffee you can drink for $3. All the sausage you can eat along with. You can't improve all sausage patties. You can't improve on a price like that. And I went up there and I saw Dan McGarry. I'd never met him before. I don't know. I just recognized his face from the newspapers. And I saw Bob Thomas. I think Mr. Thomas runs Direct Oil. He's the one who's got all the oil prices jacked up in Madisonville, where we always pay three times the price for our gasoline down at the gas pumps, you know. And poor old Freddy's, that's right. He owns poor old Freddy's. And I saw some other men in there that were, you might say, the elite, some of the elite folk in the community. And I'm not promoting joining the Lions Club. But I told Brenda, I said, "Honey, I wanna, what would be wrong when the school board has a public forum? What would be wrong with a Christian man or a pastor of a church attending that forum and trying to present his views to our community as a godly man to do his best to influence men in our society, in our community, brethren, for the honor and the glory of God?" Somebody said, "What would you do?" They're doing nothing but passing everything that is evil and ungodly. And while we sit and on the under the guise of separation, instead of separating ourselves, we isolate ourselves and let the world go to hell. Instead of getting out into the mainstream of the battle and fighting against sin, we take a back row seat and let it rage on in our society and never say nothing about it. I asked Brother Druther Jr. called yesterday. I asked him, I said, "What do you think about that?" He said, "I think it'd be good, but," he said, "be prepared to get crucified." He said, "They'll call you a compromiser." I'll assure you that. Fellas, there's a difference in separation and isolation. Some of the old-time men of God that had the churches used to have influence in the community. And some of the old-time men of God tried to influence the leaders, the mayors and the magistrates and whoever was in authority. They tried to influence them for good and to change their minds from evil thinking to godly thinking. Huh? Now you tell me what'd be wrong with that. The people of God fight for the banishment of ignorance and the promotion of knowledge. Did you hear what I said? We fight for the banishment of ignorance and the promotion of knowledge. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with folks, why folks are confused about creation versus evolution, why they're confused about abortion or life, and why they're confused, my friend, about a holy life like Jerry Falwell, yoking up with this bunch of sodomites and saying that it's all right for God's people
that have been supposedly saved by the grace of God, who embrace a sodomite who, my friend, is an abomination in the eyes of God. I'll tell you why the doctrine of salvation is perverted in our land, and some believe it's by baptism. Some think you got to speak in tongues. Some think you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Some think you got to work and hold out. Some think you got to take the sacraments, eat a piece of bread, drink a little bit of wine or grape juice. I'm going to tell you why. It's because our society is ignorant. They are ignorant to what that Bible says, and they're ignorant to what that Bible says because we have failed, my friends, to impact the society that we're living in for the glory of God and to wage a good conflict against evil. That's right. May I say to you, secondly, in this cause and God's people are for the overthrow of error and the enthronement of truth. Now, God let truth rage on, friends. Amen. I know every time I say something about certain Bible doctrines that are outside our local church, because I'm on the radio and some of you men fear who might hear me, you grimace in your expression because you're scared to death somebody's going to hear me say something contrary to some erroneous Bible doctrine that people believe in today. Somebody said, oh, you ought not to say one thing contrary to the brethren. I won't, but I sure want to give the devil down the road every chance I get. I'm telling you something, my friend. A man that tells me that there's anything to save me outside of the blood of Christ by the grace of God through faith in Him is a cult and is preaching an erroneous Bible doctrine that is contrary to truth, and they are a heretic, and you can tell them I said so. I don't make a flip who they are. I don't care how much money they got, how important they may seem to be, or how much influence they got in your life. They are a heretic. That's right. Bless God, it's time that we... Oh, well, hold on. You know, we got to have money on the marathon. If you offend people, we won't have money. No! If we offend God, we won't have the money. This psalm started out with the fact God's cast us off. God's displeased. God is not pleased with what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. The world out there can be displeased with us. The religious crowd can be displeased with us. And we'll sail on prosperously. But when God becomes displeased with us, we are in trouble, my friend. When God casts us off, when God is displeased, we are in trouble in the great conflict that we're involved in. I'm not embracing that crowd. I'm not an ecumenist. I ain't going to the promise keepers. That's right. I'm not embracing Pentecostal doctrine, tongues movement, baptized in Jesus' name outfit, Jerry Falwell, liberal Southern Baptist, or anybody else. Or even liberal independent Baptists. And there's enough of them sorry hound dogs running around all over our country. In fact, that's a crowd that ought to be took out and hung up by their toes. Amen. And skinned alive and salt poured in the wounds. Bunch of stinking liberal, sorry, little ear tickling, back scratching, pantyhose wearing lace on their drawers, sorry, devils, amen, wouldn't stand and preach against anything. Son, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach against anything that wiggles, walks, crawls, looks cross-eyed, sticks its head up, anything I don't like, anything that I know don't light up with that book, and it's evil and ungodly, I'm going to nail it! Right. Hallelujah to God. God's people are in a back conflict. We stand for the destruction of evil and the diffusion of goodness. Praise God. At what good can come out of killing babies? What good can come out of jerking the Ten Commandments down off the wall? I'm telling you, I'm never so disturbed and alarmed in all my life. This fella at the Messenger's has got some good things to say, but he'll turn right around in the same article and make an ass out of himself every time. made a statement in the newspaper, my friend, that talking about against partial birth abortion, against abortion altogether. I thought, amen, that's good. Turned right around and said he is in favor of life without parole, and we ought to do away with the death penalty, and God is in favor of the death penalty. But I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that bothered me in there. I said, why Congress, why do the Washington people and the government want to get involved, my friend, in this thing of putting the Ten Commandments back on the wall? Why does our state senators and congressmen in Kentucky so uptight about putting the Ten Commandments on the wall? He said, don't you know that we've got Muslims and we've got... he said, I know that Christianity is the primary religion in Kentucky, but said we've got Muslims and we've got this and we've got that and we've got this, and said, by the way, said you ought to never involve Christianity or religion with politics. I want to remind that joker that it was the politicians in Washington that tore the Ten Commandments down off of the wall. And by the way, it was the people of God along with our government that put them up, and it was the government that pulled them down, and backboneless, wishy-washy Baptists that let them do it. It's funny, the government could get involved in it when they tore them down, but don't get involved in putting them back up. Don't you mix government and religion. Egg sucking wasp. That's God that Jesus helped. It's all right. Amen. It just bothers me. God's people are for the utter defeat of the father of lies and the complete universal and perpetual triumph of the King of Truth. I am longing for the day when the devil will be banished, cast into hell. Now, there'll be some liberal out there when he hears this on the radio, and maybe some of you will say, now, Brother Hall, you oughtn't to wish anybody to go to hell. I'm in favor of the devil being cast into hell for eternity. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a deceiver of the minds and the hearts of men. Amen to God. And he always has been, always will be. And I look forward for the day that he is banished from our midst and cast into hell with his lies with him. No wonder all liars will be cast into a lake of fire. But yet truth shall rule and reign in our midst. Hallelujah to God. We're in a holy war. A war against all injustice, all falsehood, all error, all oppression, and all evil. And we're in favor of righteousness, truth, kindness, and holiness in our land. And if you don't stand against that and for that, you have got real problems, neighbor. But what bothers me is men that come to church and inside the four walls always stand for it. But outside the four walls, we're backboneless and wishy-washy and can't take a stand against nothing. Don't want to make enemies now. Now what about the character of these soldiers? Look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. The character. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. To who? For this glorious conflict and this banner. By the way, gentlemen, it is the banner of the cross. What is that? How does that song go? Neath the banner of the cross. What is that? What is that song? Huh? Banner of the cross. Banner of the cross. Anybody know where that's found? I might just want to sing a little verse of it here. Huh? Well, I don't see it under the banner of the cross, unless it's under the banner of the cross. There's one we ought to sing. The fight is on. I'm a-looking.
419. Sounded about the same time you did, Brother Dudley. 419. What about that? There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross. I'm going to say something to you, gentlemen. Only those that fear Him will rally beneath the banner of the old blood-stained cross. That's right. Amen to God. Hey, them that fear Him, they reverence God and they obey God. If you fear God, you will reverence God and you will obey God. Somebody said, oh, no, Brother Hall. Oh, no, no, don't tell me, oh, no, Brother Hall. There's no room for disobedience, my friend, in somebody you fear. I read in the paper yesterday where Slobokan Milosevic, or whatever his stupid name is, over in Yugoslavia, said if Montenegro wanted to become an independent state, said they could do so without bloodshed, that they would gladly step aside and let them have independent statehood. You know why? Not because he wanted to. He feared those B-51 bombers. He didn't want another pounding from the air, and he did not want any more reproach from his own people badgering him with their tongue. And because of the fear of the power from the air of American warplanes, and because of his fear from his own people, he recanted and stepped aside. I'm telling you, gentlemen, when we fear someone, we will reverence them and obey them. And a man that fears the Lord will reverence the Lord and obey the Lord. In fact, if I may say this, a man that fears God will neither fear man nor anyone else. Man or devils. A man that has a reverent, reverential fear of God in his heart will not fear man nor the devil himself. Now, I know that's right. And it's going to take some men like that to turn our society around. Huh? We're worried about fear of what people say about us. Fear what they'll think and what they'll say. Fear that they'll cut off our corn and water and we'll be impoverished people, you know. If my boss knows how I feel, he'll fire me. If he's wickeder than hell, and you ain't got enough guts about you and enough grace about you, friend, to make him mad every now and then, you ain't got much. Son, they threatened to run me off when I was in Bible college. I took my case pocket knife and slit them pallets of ceiling tiles, that styrofoam, took them little tracks, said if you died not, I'd put them all over that thing. I'd slit all four sides, put one on all four sides, dropped them down in empty, in boxes that windows went in, stuck them inside doors. I put tracks everywhere. Sid Wilson came out there one day and said, now, gentlemen, said, we got a little problem. Said, somebody has been sending out these little leaflets and said, some of our people that buy from us, our vet said, they're upset with that and they don't want it to do anymore. And said, we just don't want you to do that anymore. I never said a word. I just kept on putting them little tracks in them ceiling tiles, dropping them down in them boxes. I never said a word. About him one day, Sid Wilson on turn said, Gary, said, mister, I forget what his name was, said, we won't see you up front. I said, all right, Sid, and headed up there. And they said, now look, said, we was kind the other day. Said, we just addressed the whole crowd of workers, but said, we know you're the one been putting them little pamphlets and leaflets in them boxes. And said, if you don't stop that, said, you're going to lose your job. I said, sir, then cut my check now, because I will not divorce myself from Christ that I might please some egg-sucking liberal heathen that does not love God.
Somebody said, what if he had cut you off and lost your job? How would you have made a living? How would you have eaten? I'm going to tell you what. I serve a God in heaven that is able, gentlemen, to sustain me and supply my every need. I'm not about to back up on what I believe the Bible says. No, sir. Now, the expulsive power of this fear. Somebody said, what do you mean the expulsive power? What it expels. It expels all other fear. As I said a minute ago, he who fears God much will fear neither man nor devils at all. There is an impulsive power, this fear. When I say impulsive, I'm talking about an inward impulse. It's an impulsive, a motivation, something within. It inspires enthusiasm in the holy cause. See, if you don't fear God and reverence God, fellas, you're not going to be enthused, excited at all for God, have no zeal of God whatsoever. Huh? No zeal whatsoever. I have never seen such a lack of enthusiasm in serving God as what there is in our churches today. Huh? Fine if things get done. Fine if things don't get done. Huh? And fellas, I'm going to tell you what, some of you let your own children, you are so dead on God that you let your own children sit in the church and set an example for them that someday going to come back and haunt you right square in your face. Better listen to what I'm telling you, friend. That's right. You set an example before your own children. You don't have an ounce of zeal, an ounce of enthusiasm about you for God whatsoever. And it's going to come back to haunt you, and it's going to do it in the presence of your own children. I've seen them in the church. I've seen them in the church. In the last 4 or 5 months, I've seen kids in this church mimicking their parents sitting in the church. They do exactly what their parents do. God better help us. It not only inspires enthusiasm, but it imparts courage for the holy conflict. How many of you ever heard about Mr. Cromwell's Ironside? Old English war horse. Called him Cromwell's Ironside. Those men were men of God. They feared God greatly, gentlemen, and they lived as if they were always in the presence of God. They spent their time before every battle in prayer. I'm talking about a military outfit. They spent their time before every battle they faced in prayer. And when they went out into that prayer, they went out into that battle, they went out singing psalms. And there, if you please, their watchword was, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Write this down in your memoirs. They were never defeated in battle. Never. Now I'm going to tell you what. We put God first and reverence God and get in that place of prayer and fight our battles. God ain't going to let us go down in defeat. No, sirree, Bob. God ain't going to let us go down in defeat. Men who work and fight the battles of the Lord must be godly men. They must be the men who fear the Lord. Now the commander. Notice, thou hast given. Who is thou? Well, I think it's Christ, our commander. Thou hast given a banner. Thank God he gave it. It cost him his blood, but he gave us that banner over there, gentlemen. Is that flag not worth fighting for? Now look here, if they come in our church and try to take that flag, we would probably fight them. But gentlemen, they have pulled out of our public schools, out of the courthouses, all across our land and the commonwealth, the very things that flag represents. They have deprived our educational books in public schools of anything to do with the God that we serve, and we sit back and let her roll on as if nothing happened. Just keep silent about it. And expect lost men out there, like Marlon Maddox, to fight the battle. He don't know God. No, sir. He's a very conservative man, but he don't know God. Now, his banner is that cross. Huh? Thank God we can rally under that banner. And then his weapon. I got to thinking about our commander's weapon, man. You think about the commander-in-chief of our armed forces. They've got all the missiles, bombs, airplanes, submarines, aircraft carriers, some. We've got surface-to-ground missiles. We have got much, much capability, military capability, many capabilities, all kind of capabilities. Countries are afraid of us because we've got the capability. I wonder, gentlemen, if our enemy of evil even shivers in his shoes because of our capability that's at our disposal. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've searched the Bible. If you know of any more than this, let me know, but I only found two. That's it! The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the wicked, ungodly, erroneous fallacies that's permeating our land and dragging us down deeper into the depths of depravity. The sword of the Spirit, and I found one other weapon. Prayer. The only two I can find in the whole Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. They're all we need. Huh? Three little statements and I'm done. To every soldier fighting beneath his banner, Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always. Even into the end of the world." Hallelujah to God. Amen. Old Douglas MacArthur told them men in the Philippines, "Occupy till I come." And he said, "I shall return." Hallelujah to God. Mr. Hall and I, when I preached that revival meeting some time ago for Brother Joe Hyde, they had a national cemetery up there for the Civil War heroes, and it was an old a compound. It was a prison. Now, I forget if it was a northern or a southern prison, but they had crosses all over that place where the men of the Civil War had been died in that prison camp and died and was buried there, and they had turned that thing into something like a little war museum. An old Vietnam fella was a helicopter commander, captain, was in charge of that thing, and he told me about how his chopper got blew up and how he got bombed in a bunker and blowed out of the bunker and all this. But I'm going to tell you what turned me on more than any of it. When I walked through that door on that back wall, showed a picture of Douglas MacArthur, son, walking ashore in the Philippines, man, strutting. I'm talking about strutting his stuff with them sunglasses on. Had a big sign up there, said, "I shall return." And I'm telling you, when I saw that picture of Doug, that mural really of Douglas MacArthur, son, my goose bumps rolled up and down my back, and I tell you, I couldn't hardly contain myself. But, lo, gentlemen, I'm telling you that one greater than Douglas MacArthur is here. Jesus our Lord. Amen. The commander that gave us the banner has said, "Occupy till I come. I shall return." I'm telling you, he's not coming back, glory to God. And lo, he's with us always, even to the end of the world. Bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah. He's coming. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's coming back. Say, secondly, the battle may be long and arduous, but the issue is certain victory to those who fight the Lord's battles. Amen to God. You ought to read about little old David when Abigail said, "The Lord, said, for my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord." Hallelujah to God. And said, "God has made of him a sure house." I'm telling you, my friend, the Lord has made you and I a sure house. Honey, I'm not a hoping for victory. I'm telling you, victory has already been won. Amen. Where is the victory? I'm going to tell you, it's standing right over yonder to my left today. It's the banner of the old blood stained cross. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, sin, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I want to thank God through Jesus Christ,
my Lord, my friend, that He always causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God Almighty. We've got already got the victory.
That's right, ain't it? Praise God. Ain't that right? Ain't it right, Billy? You don't have to worry about that old brain of yours. Son, you've already got the victory. The banner of the cross tells us that the victory is already ours. Hallelujah to God. Bless His wonderful name. Son, I'm happier than a hog rooting in swamp. Don't we not have any more confidence in our commander than the Filipino soldiers had in theirs when old Douglas MacArthur said, "I shall return." And he stepped foot on the shore and proved that he would. I'm telling you, our Lord said, "I shall return." There's coming a day when He'll step out on the clouds of glory and He'll do exactly what it says He'll do. Feel like old Jesse Helms this morning. Now, I didn't say Jesse Jackson. They said, Jesse Helms run for office again. They said, "What do you intend to do in your next term?" He said, "Just continue giving the liberals fits." Praise God. That ought to be our, that ought to be the motto of every child of God. Just keep on giving the devil fits. Giving that liberal crowd fits. Giving evil fits. Standing for old time religion. Standing for the holiness of God. Standing for the blood stained banner of the cross of Christ. Hallelujah to God. Son, I'll tell you, I feel saved, paid, saved. Bless God, I'm on. Glory to God, Jehovah. I feel saved this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. He who has given us our banner. He who has given us our banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Because of thy truth, David said, Selah, think about that a little while. I've got news for you. He that's given us the banner of truth will also give us the palm of the victor. Oh, hallelujah to God. I like that old song Brother Roloff sang. Well, palms of victory. Oh, yes. I wish I knew the words to it. Praise God, I'd say it. Songs of what is it? Palms of victory, huh? Yeah, crowns of glory. Palms of victory. Somebody said, where do you have the victory? Son, because that His blessed hands was pierced, and His feet, and His side was riven, and out came both blood and water, praise God. And down the cross, He gave us a cross, and a banner to display the cross of truth. Well, I've dunked donuts before, but never have. Praise God. Somebody said, "You're acting like a nut." I'm on the right boat. You said, "I got Loctite on the threads." Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bless His wonderful name. A glorious conflict. But the commander has given us a banner of truth. Selah! 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 Think about it! Think about it! Think about it! The banner! Hallelujah to God! He's given us! He's given us! I don't want to spear nobody, but let God look out! I'm telling you, He's given us a banner. Yes, sir. And I tell you, that old banner, He took it, my friend, and stuck it right through the heart of sin. And sin died. He stuck
it through the hearts of Satan, and Satan's power was made void. But oh, Brother Richard, September the 13th, 1970, I was dead. Amen. I wasn't Dracula. Either, bless God, but he shook it. I'm about to go nuts, Brother Stevie. He stuck it through my heart, and that which was dead come alive. Thank God, I've got a battle of truth. Satan! The world will trample on it. They'll step on it. They have no love for it. But I'm glad. Thank God I love it. Thank God for the cross. The cross, the cross. Where I first saw the light. Where the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was by my faith. I received my sight, Brother Andy. Now I'm happy. Hallelujah to God all the day. Lord. Y'all know, y'all remember what Brother Wells preached? Joseph leaning on the staff. You know what Joseph's staff was? Here's an old rugged cross stained with blood. So divine. I'm telling you, you can find repose for a blood-stained banner of the cross. My friend, yes, sir. I'm telling you, I'm glad, thank God, when we come to the day of the dying, when it comes time to die, and we can be found leaning on the old rugged cross. Hallelujah to God. It's carried me all these 29 years. It'll carry me on into glory. Brother Wayne, he's never let me down, never failed me. He's carried me, brother. Oh, Brother Mark, for 29 long years, I've been making it on the cross. And I'll make her on into the course of glory. Because of the banner of a cross. Back to me, you egg-sucking evil. Get away from me, Satan. Back off, sin. I'm in a glorious conflict. I shall not be defeated. How can I hide me behind the cross? Oh, hide thou me. O rock of ages, hide thou me beneath the banner of the cross. I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know if I'm ever going to get around to preaching or not. He stuck you, didn't he, Doug? Get these kids behind the cross. That's right. Get these little babies behind the cross. Hallelujah to God. That's right. That's safe protection. Though Satan's fiery darts at me are hurled, praise God, I stand behind the cross. With its glory all unfurled, going steadily bravely with a cross by my side, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary my Savior died. He went to a bomb grave, but 3 days later he came out with victory over sin, death, and hell, and he's seated at the right hand of God today. Hallelujah to God! Glory, glory, glory! You girls ever got in? That's it right there now. I paid my water bill the other day. And they had written on that water bill, prepare for the future. I wrote on there in the best of my handwriting to do. Already did. John 3:16. About time to drop off the edge. Down into the good love of God. Oh, I'm telling you, when I think about His love that carried Him to the cross, and He's given us a banner church. Neath the banner of the cross! Neath the banner of the cross we stand with glory in our soul, with power and authority, seated at the right hand of God. Amen. It was heaven awaiting us down the road. Just a few days, how can we give up, turn back, compromise, or turn aside from the battle that's a raging in this world? Every sin that stands up, stick it. Evolution, stick it. Abortion, stick it. Depriving us of prayer in the school, stick it. Depriving us of the Ten Commandments in the school, stick it. Amen. Adultery, stick it. Fornication, stick it. Lust, stick it. Covetousness, stick it. Sin, stick it. Just stick, stick, stick. I'm going to tell you something. When the devil stands up, stick him. When he falls down on the ground, stick him. And when he ain't got no more holes left, no places, you can put a hole, take the blunt end of the cross, and beat the living daylight out of the egg sucker. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Praise the Lamb of God. Brother, thou hast cast off that Shechem. Gilead is mine. Me as my worst part. I'm a marching on the victory. Hallelujah to God. I don't know if I can preach much longer or not, boys. I told y'all the other night I was going to preach. Lord said He's going to let me preach till I died. It may be sooner than I thought. I like it. I'm crazy about it. Nothing no better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. What time is it? Praise God. It's 11:30. About time to preach a little while. Huh? Hallelujah. I think we ought to sing the banner of the cross. Huh? Praise God. Let's sing it. Miss Hall, give me a good key. Praise God. Page 419. Give me a key over our Sister Hall. There's a raw banner. Hallelujah to God. Yes! Praise God for the banner. Thou hast given us a banner because of that truth. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Selah, Selah, Selah. Think about it. Hallelujah to God. And He's given it to them that fear Him. I told these men, ladies, look up here. I told these men, a man or a woman that fears God will never fear man or the devil. Hallelujah to God. Not one time. Hallelujah. There's a banner to the soldiers of the King. And an ensign fair we lifted up today, while the ransomed ones we say, marching on, marching on, for Christ had everything but loss, and we'll crown Him king, toil and pain, neath the banner. Though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, let the standard be displayed. Be not dismayed, marching on, marching on, for Christ had everything but loss, and we'll crown His head.
land and sea, wherever man may dwell, make the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner. While the Lord shall claim his own, marching on, marching on. For Christ had everything but loss, and we crown him head, toil and sin, neath the banner of the cross. Hallelujah! Marching on, marching on, for Christ had everything but loss, and we'll crown him king, toil and sin, neath the banner of the cross.
Have I got a testimony this morning? Won't testify a little while about what God's done in your life. Like Brother Nolan says, don't want no wool talent. Just want somebody to tell me what God done in your life. I don't always get this wild, huh? This is an unusual day at Island Ford Baptist Church. That's why you like it, because it's unusual. I'm going to tell you what, Miss Hall and I hadn't been married long. I didn't have a job. I could have had, but I just didn't. I was a sorry rascal. Well, I wasn't laid off, Brother Richard. I just wouldn't work. I wasn't in church either. We was a living off of nothing. We had 50 pounds of potatoes and had a bunch of commodity, government commodity, powdered scrambled eggs. And I'd eat powdered eggs and potatoes. Them potatoes grew them big long prongs on them, about that long in the bag, just kept growing. We just kept eating potatoes and scrambled eggs. Potatoes and powdered milk eggs. I got so sick of them, I could have puked. I come in one day at the Miss Hall's mother's house, and I said, "What's that I smell?" And she said, "That's a big pot of pinto beans." Now, I'd eat pinto beans all my life. But I said, "Care if I eat a little bowl of them?" She dished them pintos out the bone. I went, there wasn't nothing but pinto beans. But I'm going to tell you, the best pinto beans I ever eaten in the world. You know why? Got a taste of something unusual. Huh? That's why you like it, Brother Andy. It's unusual. If you tried this up to the first church, they'd throw you out. There ain't too many places would allow this to go on. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been thrown in better places than that. Woo! I feel like worshiping the Lord!